Beneath the headlines, behind the timelines, there is a story no one wants you to find. Welcome to Some Unapproved Thinking, where forgotten truths, buried patterns, and invisible systems rise to the surface. You weren't crazy. You were just early. Let's begin.
You know what's wild? I was reminiscing about my kids' childhood dolls, particularly those iconic Cabbage Patch dolls, and an unsettling thought crossed my mind. What if those innocent-looking toys were actually little spies? It's a crazy idea, right? But stick with me on this one. Today, we're diving into the fascinating possibility that they might have had some sort of, you know, surveillance capabilities. I mean, they were pretty advanced for their time. So right off the bat, let's look at how these dolls became a cultural phenomenon. The 80s were an interesting time, mixing nostalgia with emerging technology. Can you imagine the parents then dealing with all the chaos around these dolls? They were like the hot new toy every kid wanted. Now today you own one. Maybe your kid does. Maybe you saw the box in your parents' attic and felt a chill that you couldn't explain. The Cabbage Patch Kids doll, that synthetic yarn hair, those button eyes, that adoption certificate. Innocent, right? Wrong. Xavier Roberts created these things, licensed his Little People soft sculptures to Coleco in 1983. And from that moment forward, the story you were told about a quirky, folksy toy from Appalachia gets very complicated very fast. When you crack open the chassis of a 1980s Cabbage Patch doll and actually examine the circuitry, really examine it, you find something the history books conveniently forgot to mention. Microphones. Plural. In places that don't make sense for a toy that only babbles pre-recorded phrases. This is Some Unapproved Thinking.
Thank you to our sponsor, the Dark Horse Entrepreneur Podcast. Unlock your potential with the Dark Horse Entrepreneur AI Escape Plan, the podcast empowering hardworking parents to break free from the 9-to-5 grind through AI-powered side hustles. Check them out at darkhorseentrepreneur.com. Now back to the show.
Let's get specific. The original Coleco Cabbage Patch Kids launched in 1983, not 1982, not 1984, 1983. The same year the CIA was deepening its relationship with Silicon Valley, the same year they were experimenting with audio surveillance at scales we still don't fully understand, you probably think that's coincidence. Most people do. But when you map the production timeline, the government contracts, and the component sourcing, you start seeing a different picture entirely. And the origin story was already compromised before Coleco touched it. Martha Nelson Thomas, an artist from Kentucky, claimed Xavier Roberts stole her doll baby's design outright, her soft sculpted cloth dolls that she'd been making years before Roberts ever showed up at a craft fair. She sued. The lawsuit was settled quietly. The terms were sealed. A doll born from a disputed theft, then handed to a defense-adjacent corporation, then embedded in millions of American homes. That's not an origin story. That's a pipeline. Roberts built Babyland General Hospital in Cleveland, Georgia, still operational today, where these dolls were delivered by costume nurses and adopted through formal paperwork. The adoption theater wasn't just marketing. Nope. It was conditioning. It was teaching you that documentation was normal, that signing your name to receive a product was just part of the process. That consent was already part of the ritual. Here's what most people don't know. The microphone circuitry in early Cabbage Patch dolls wasn't documented in any patent filing. It was just there, integrated into the main audio board alongside the legitimate speaker components. Teardown reports from the late 1990s detailed this exact anomaly and then disappeared from circulation shortly after publication. The people who flagged these reports never published another word on the subject. Some of them still work in tech in Northern Virginia, near where the NSA's contractor infrastructure operates. The doll's battery compartment is another rabbit hole. Standard AA batteries would power a basic speech module for maybe 6 to 8 hours. The Cabbage Patch Kids needed to run for days, sometimes weeks, without battery replacement. Parents reported that these dolls would function on the same batteries for months. Yeah, months. That's impossible under normal power consumption, unless the audio recording wasn't continuous, unless it was triggered, motion activated, heat activated, or something we haven't been trained to notice yet. Think about where these dolls were placed in homes, bedrooms, living rooms, nurseries, the one place where families have unfiltered conversations, where children say things they're coached not to say in public, where parents discuss finances, health problems, marital issues, even dissent. A microphone in every demographic cohort, a listening post disguised as a toy that cost $25. Now here's where it gets darker. Between 1983 and 1985, toy recalls weren't tracked the way they are now. The internet didn't exist. The FTC had minimal authority. If a doll had a defect, a microphone that shouldn't be there, it could be quietly recalled, destroyed, and removed from the record. No paper trail, no congressional hearing, no news cycle. Just poof, gone. And the parents who reported the anomaly? Why would anyone believe them? Their kid's toy was recording? Sounds paranoid. Sounds like a conspiracy. But Coleco wasn't a small operation. They had military contracts. They built ColecoVision and positioned themselves at the exact intersection of consumer electronics and defense-adjacent hardware at the precise moment that intersection mattered most. Defense contractors don't usually make toys. Toys are liability. Unless the toy itself is the contract, unless the surveillance apparatus is the actual product, and the doll is just the delivery mechanism, the adoption certificate you got with each doll, that beautiful pink paper with the doll's name and your signature, that was registration. You were registering the device. You were putting your address on a list. You were consenting in writing to have a listening post installed in your home. The genius of it was almost beautiful in a horrifying way. You bought the surveillance yourself. You unwrapped it. You charged it. You placed it in your child's most intimate space. And when it malfunctioned, when someone actually opened it up and looked inside, you were the one being doubted. You were the crazy one. You were seeing things that weren't there, except they were there. The circuit boards don't lie. There were variations in production runs. Some dolls had the full microphone array. Some had partial components. Some had wiring that led nowhere, ghost circuits designed to confuse anyone attempting reverse engineering. This wasn't sloppy manufacturing. This was intentional obfuscation. This was someone teaching you not to look too closely. This was someone betting that if you ever did look, you'd doubt your own eyes. The 1984 production run is the one nobody talks about. That's when Coleco suddenly tripled their manufacturing capacity. Not because demand increased. Demand was already insane. They tripled it because someone was placing a very specific order, a bulk order, thousands of units going to addresses that were never public, daycare centers, schools, government buildings. The same facilities where vulnerable populations, children, immigrants, low-income families, could be monitored without consent or awareness. A doll in every classroom, a microphone in every corner. Here's what breaks the skeptic's brain. The technology actually worked. The microphones were crude, yes. The range was limited, but they worked. They could capture a three-year-old's whispered conversations. They could record bedtime confessions. They could catalog family dynamics, vulnerabilities, and secrets. And if the doll was connected to the phone line, and some early models had mysterious port connections that Coleco never explained, that data could be transmitted in real time. You think this was too primitive to matter? The government was running Polybius at the same time. If you've never heard of Polybius, the arcade game that allegedly appeared in Portland in 1981 was played exclusively by government agents and caused blackouts and psychological disturbances in children before vanishing entirely. Look it up. The documented pattern of surveillance embedded in children's entertainment is not new. It predates Coleco. It predates Roberts. The Cabbage Patch Kids were just the most scalable version. You think this is impossible because you trust institutions, you trust Coleco, you trust the government, you trust that if something this invasive happened, someone would have blown the whistle. But here's the thing about systemic surveillance. Everyone involved has plausible deniability. The engineer who designed the circuit board was told it was for enhanced audio quality. The factory worker who assembled it was assembling one component out of dozens. The executive who approved it was presented with one document out of 100. The government agency that placed the order used a shell contractor with a shell company. By the time you get to the toy store shelf, the chain of intent has been broken into 1,000 tiny pieces. And then there's the silence. The deafening institutional silence. Why hasn't Coleco released a public statement about this? Why haven't they demanded an investigation? Because they're defunct. Because when you become a liability, you get swallowed. Coleco declared bankruptcy in 1988, and then Hasbro acquired the brand Hasbro, a company with the resources, the legal teams, and the institutional relationships to bury documentation permanently. The evidence was literally disposed of by millions of parents who had no idea what they were throwing away, and the brand was absorbed by exactly the kind of corporation that has every incentive to keep it that way. The few dolls that survived in mint condition, those are the real proof. Collectors have them, museums have them, and if you could actually get access to the circuitry, which you can't because collectors are protective and museums don't invite scrutiny, you would see it. You would see the microphone. You would see the proof. But here's the trap. Here's where your instinct to share this becomes dangerous. If you start talking about Cabbage Patch surveillance, you sound insane. You become the person who sees conspiracies in toys. And that's exactly the point. The surveillance works better when it's dismissed. When people who mention it are marginalized, when the truth is protected by the very incredulity it generates, they didn't just create a listening device. They created the social dynamic that prevents you from talking about the listening device without losing credibility. Your own doubt is the security system. And the worst part, the part that should keep you awake, is that this technology was primitive, clumsy, a proof of concept. Because here's what they learned from it. The concept worked. Consumers would invite surveillance into their homes if it was packaged as cuteness. And so the program evolved. In 2017, the German Federal Network Agency banned My Friend Kayla, a doll made by Genesis Toys, and classified it as an illegal espionage apparatus. Not a privacy concern, not a safety issue. An illegal espionage apparatus. The FTC received formal complaints. Parents were instructed to destroy the dolls. Kayla was connected to Nuance Communications, a speech recognition company with documented law enforcement and intelligence database relationships. A doll. Listening. In 2017. Sound familiar? That same year, security researchers demonstrated that Furby Connect could be turned into a remote listening device with a simple Bluetooth exploit. And before that, the VTech data breach exposed the personal records of 6.4 million children. The pipeline didn't start with smart toys. It started with yarn hair and button eyes and an adoption certificate you signed with your own hand. COPPA, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, was supposed to stop this, passed in 1998. It created legal frameworks for children's digital privacy that the FTC was supposed to enforce, and yet my friend Kayla happened anyway. The VTech breach happened anyway because the law assumes good faith from the manufacturer. And if 1983 taught us anything, good faith was never part of the product design. The Cabbage Patch Kids were a test, a very successful test. Xavier Roberts licensed a stolen design to a defense-adjacent corporation that embedded undocumented components in millions of units, registered each one through an adoption certificate system, and then went bankrupt at exactly the right moment for the evidence to just disappear. Hasbro inherited the brand. Original Appalachian Artworks retained the IP. The chain of custody is perfect. The chain of accountability is, well, non-existent. Every doll that was thrown away was a destroyed piece of evidence. Every collector who keeps theirs locked in plastic is protecting proof. And every parent who never knew what was in their child's bedroom was part of an experiment whose results you're still living inside. And the microphone? Well, it was always listening. This has been Some Unapproved Thinking. Tracy, out. Next. Next.
If this story didn't sit right with you, good. You're not here to be comforted. You're here to see what others overlook. Thanks for exploring Some Unapproved Thinking. Learn more at someunapprovedthinking.com. New episodes drop weekly. Subscribe, share, and keep questioning, because the pattern's still playing out, and next time, we're going deeper.